be here on Palm Sunday. And what a beautiful day it is as well. It's really nice to be here. Can we see? There we go. I thought I'd start with a quiz. Is that all right? You like a quiz? Okay. So I want to know this. Who this is. Okay. Any guesses? No? Me? No. Nelson Mandela? Barack Obama? Elvis. It's Elvis. It's Elvis. It's the king of rock and roll. Okay. That wasn't too bad. What about this one? How about this one? Ooh. Bit of grey hair there. Charles. Oh no, not Charles. Jose Mourinho, the self-proclaimed special one. Do you remember him? I wonder where he's at Roma now, I think. I think so. All right, and let's go another one. We've got two more. A little quiz just for us. Here we go. Hopefully you're getting a theme here. Right, we'll see. Oh, you're into it now, aren't you? Yes, here we go. Michael Jackson. The king of pop, okay? Now, this one, we've got some youngsters, haven't we? This next one's just for the little ones, first of all. See if you can guess this one, all right? See if you can guess this one. Oh, no, it's not this one. Beg your pardon, there's two more. Forget that, little ones, you can go back to sleep. Who's that? Oh, you're getting good at this, aren't you? Yeah. There he is. I am the greatest. Yeah? Now, children, concentrate. There we are, King of the Ring. Who's that? Oh. Anyone recognize? King Louis! It's King Louis, the king of the swingers! Now, who can remember all the words to that? Yeah. Yeah, we go. I thought that was just for the... Why not? I like a little bit of a quiz to start with. There he is. Okay, oh, no, too far. Do you know, we do live in a world full of kings. Full of kings, full of things, people, kings that that could dominate us, that could rule over us. And we live in a world where each of us really, in fact, probably do have kings that rule over or dominate our lives. For some of us, it's sport that rules our lives. For others, it could be our phones. For others, it's food and cooking or eating. For others, it might be clothing and fashion. It could be our family that is the king in our realm. It could be music, friends, work. There's a whole host of things that can dominate our lives and rule over us as king. But so what do I mean rule over us, though? What does that mean? Well, they dominate, don't they, our time, taking away time from other aspects of our lives. Often in a negative way. We pay a tax to them. And we'll spend our money maybe on a new mobile every now and then. When perhaps we don't really need one. Or we might buy a season ticket and travel to every game. Guilty as charged. Yeah. Or we like a TV program so much we binge watch it and spend hours watching the telly. Or we spend what disposable income we have on things that we think might be important. Collectibles. Things like that. I could go on, but I think you're probably getting the picture. whatever takes our time, effort, money, and emotions could be a king in our life. And we need to reflect really carefully and decide who or what we want as our king. Who or what do we want ruling over us? Do we want our money, our time, or our energy ruling over us? It's a massive decision, and one which will either bring us joy and eternity, or it'll probably end up bringing us disappointment and suffering, and ultimately a demise. Well, it's a bit of a heavy start for a sermon, really, isn't it? Do apologise. In the world that we've lived in, and as history's gone by, we've had many kings and rulers. Some of them good, some of them benevolent, some of them bad, and some of them downright evil. But here in the passage that we've just read, we see a new kind of king emerging on the scene. A different kind of king. Let's just look at that passage again. I always think it's nice sometimes to read a passage twice. Sometimes you miss things in the first time round. So, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, "See, your king comes to you, and riding on a donkey, and on the colt, on the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed, and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of them, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Well, excuse me, what's this story all about? Why did Jesus do this? Well, I think he's making a very, very public statement. He's announcing who he is to the world, to his countrymen, and to the religious authorities around him. Do you know, in Jesus' day, when the Romans, when they conquered a region or a city, there would be a parade. There, where the victorious general would ride into the city in victory, and the beaten citizens would have to acknowledge him. And when a general returned to Rome, they would have a massive victory parade to celebrate the arrival of the great all-conquering general who had defeated the enemies of Rome and won a famous victory. And do you know what that parade was called? It was called a triumphus. A triumphus. Now Jesus is mimicking a Roman victory parade here. He's announcing that he is the victorious king. But he's not come to conquer. He's come to liberate. He does not ride on a horse, the animal of a military leader, but on a donkey, the beast of burden. He will be carrying their burdens and not imposing burdens on them, as a military conqueror would do. instead of the victorious army following him and the forced cries of the losers cheering him on, Jesus' disciples follow him. And the cries of those he has come to liberate sing all around, "Hosanna to the Son of David, save us." You okay? Yeah? Jesus is proclaiming that he is the Messiah, the chosen one, the God, the one whom God is sending to release people from slavery to sin, to set them free, and to rule over them as God intended, as Messiah King. The symbolism of the donkey would not be lost on the people, would it? They knew their scriptures. It wouldn't be lost on the religious authorities who were looking on with a bit of concern. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus is letting the people know that he is the king that scripture was expecting. But he's not the king that they were expecting. He's a different kind of king. And what I want to do is to share with you this morning three things that make Jesus different to any other king or ruler or president or prime minister or whatever you want to call them. Firstly, Jesus is the king that gives. Secondly, he's the king that knows. And thirdly, he's the king that rescues. So here we go. I don't know how well you know your Old Testament. I'm sure some of you really do know it very well. And you'll know that when the people of Israel called on the prophet Samuel to give them a king so that they could be like the nations, what they were actually doing was rejecting God's rule in their life. They had seen how other nations all around them had a king to rule over them, a physical person that they could serve, someone they could look up to. And Israel wanted the same. And they saw that Samuel's sons were not like him. They were corrupt and they were lazy. And they begged Samuel to give them a king. Samuel speaks to God, who surprisingly says, listen to them. It's not what you that they reject, it's me, says God. Give them what they want, but warn them of what a king will be like. Make sure they know that what they get, what they will get when they exchange God's rule for human rule. And this is what Samuel says. This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields and vineyards. Ooh, here we go. I'm losing it now. There we go. To take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and his attendants, your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and the donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks and you yourselves will become his slaves. What a warning. What a warning. When we exchange God's rule for human rule, this is what is going to happen. Samuel says that a human king, a human ruler, will eventually screw you over. He will take advantage of you. You'll be worse off. Your food, your money, and family will all be used to serve the king. Or the queen. And you know, if you look closely at history across the world, across time, you'll see that Samuel's warning has pretty much come true universally. Earthly kings. Do you know what earthly kings do? They take from you, don't they? They tax you. They take your land, forcibly sometimes. We've seen that in the news, isn't it? Greenland is up for grabs, apparently. They take the best for themselves. They are prioritized over you. And they seem to be more important than you. I'll tell you a little story. When my boys were small, I took them to Thorpe Park. We had a great day out. And we'd been queuing up for this like huge corkscrew ride for about 45 minutes. And we were getting close to the front. And we could see we were like two or three from the front. And all of a sudden there was this big kerfuffle. And walking past the queue was a celebrity. It was an actor from EastEnders. Nasty Nick. Do you remember Nasty Nick? With his son, I think it was a son, might have been a daughter. But there they went, straight to the front, sat in the front carriage of the ride, whilst the rest of us waited, and off they went. We'd been waiting there 45 minutes. And then when it came back, we thought, oh, right, our turn now. And he went, oh, no, we'll go again. That's rulers, isn't it? That's people in authority. That's people with power. You know? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not about to slag off anybody like celebrities. I'm not about to slur our royal family, our prime minister, all the presidents and all that. I quite like some of our politicians and our royal family. Nor am I making any political statement from here on in at all. This is just an observation that those in power who rule over us sometimes see themselves as more important than you or me. They are treated as more important than the average person like you and me. The places they often live, the palaces, the treatment they receive, the money they take in revenue from the ordinary person. And sometimes the more corrupt ones siphon that off, don't they? Reputedly, President Putin has billions stashed away from Russian taxpayers. He's taken for his own personal money. Jesus, however, gives. He doesn't take, he gives. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What a difference! Jesus, the servant king, Jesus gave it all. Not many kings die in your place. Not many give up heaven to be born a pauper on earth, to be mistreated and executed just so that you can live. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Do you know our current world leaders are struggling with this, aren't they? Peace. It's not something they desire or they want to achieve or can achieve. For many, their priority is power, greed, money, influence, under the guise of protection of our people. The problem is that people's hearts are still troubled in the world. They're fearful of what their leaders are going to do next. But Jesus is different. Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And when we look at the state of the world today, we see Gaza, we see Yemen, we see the Ukraine, and countless other wars going on that never get reported. We see poverty, food banks, dirty water, homelessness worldwide. Earthly leaders are not bringing life, and certainly not life to the full. Jesus is different. He's offering us life and life to the full. What a difference. And Jesus doesn't stop giving. It's forever. Our earthly leaders are here today and they're gone tomorrow. Someone taking their place. There's no lasting legacy to any government, any monarchy. Everything changes. But not Jesus. He never stops giving. It's eternal. Second thing I'd like to share with you is Jesus is the king that knows. You know that all our kings, presidents, prime ministers make mistakes. We don't need to look too far to see that. Going back to the 70s, Watergate, Partygate, more recently at Downing Street, spy scandals, sex scandals, expense claim scandals, storming the Capitol building in Washington, having journalists executed in different parts of the world. Our leaders make mistakes because they are flawed, sinful people just like you and me. They also disappoint us. They let us down. Broken promises, failure to live up to the hype. Every incoming prime minister or president makes bold statements. Make America great again. Back Britain. Put the great back in Britain. Yet inevitably things go wrong. They fail. The economy flops. A war breaks out. Disasters happen. Often these things are out of their control, but we still blame them. We still blame them. And you know, those leaders don't know you, do they? They don't know you. And if we're honest, they don't care about you as an individual. They make choices that are big and sweeping for the benefit of a wider group than you. They'll make choices that benefit the rich, or the poor, or the sick, or the marginalised, but not you specifically. You can't speak to them. You can't plead your case. You're just a statistic. Sorry about that. Finally, they fall from grace. So many of our leaders that we put our faith in fall from grace. They get caught out. They've had an affair. They've lied under oath. They've fiddled their expenses. They broke the rules that they set up. And they end up resigning or being forced out. But you know, Jesus is different. He knows it all. He created the universe. He knows everything. What a difference. I am the Alpha and the Omega, he says. He's the first and the last and everything in between. Jesus literally does know it all. He created it all. There's nothing that surprises him. Nothing that is new to him. He sees it all. He doesn't make mistakes. He has full knowledge and wisdom because he is our creator. And he knows you personally and he wants to be your friend. Remember that time with Zacchaeus? Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Can you imagine Keir Starmer phoning you up? and saying, "Come, I'm coming round to your house for tea, put the kettle on." It's not going to happen, is it? Jesus knows you. He created you. He knew you before he created you, and yet he still wants to be your friend. He knows all about you, and he still wants to come round. The God of the universe is interested in you. He wants to be in a relationship, a partnership, a friendship with you. He has done everything necessary to make that happen. He could not have done anything more to make that happen. And he wants the best for you. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus knows your every need, and he wants to supply it. He knows it better than you know it. He can give you what your heart truly, truly desires. And that is a relationship with him. Do you know what? I think the third time, where are we? Hang on a minute. There we go. Finally, Jesus is the king that rescues. Do you know what? Earthly kings, in times of war and crisis, earthly kings and earthly leaders often have an escape plan. You know, they often have an escape plan. It was always the James Bond villain, wasn't it? Always had an escape pod to get him out of there when it all went pear-shaped. There's a place of safety for them where he or she can go with their advisors to be safe. A place from where they can rule away from the danger. Do you know what? And they're not going to invite you. They're not going to invite you. For all the talk of we're all in this together, you won't be the one in the bunker with them. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. They're not going to invite you into their little bunker. They're going to leave you to fend for yourselves. But Jesus, however, ran towards the danger. He ran towards it on purpose because he loves you. And he chose to come and rescue you. Jesus became the rescue plan. He left the security of heaven and came and sought you out. His death enabled you to escape death and hell, to live eternally with him. And not only that, he adopts you into his family. You are a prince and a princess if you believe in Jesus. I'm a prince. Think about it. We are heirs together because of our faith in Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have an eternal life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So Jesus, a different kind of king. This is what Palm Sunday is all about. Jesus announcing a different kind of king has arrived, a different person to rule over you, one who knows you, one who loves you, one who cares for you, one who's interested in you. So who would you rather put your trust in? An earthly king that's temporary, disappointing, flawed, leads to death. Ooh, gone wrong. Or God's kingdom, eternal, fulfilling, peaceful, and providing purpose and life eternal. Today we're left with that choice. Where are we going to be? On the side of the earthly kings or the side of God's King, Jesus? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a different kind of king. That you're not flawed and broken, yet you broke yourself so that you could heal us. So Father, today we come before you and we ask, heal us, restore us, fill us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to decide whose side we're on today. Amen.